Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
StarWars.com has their own show. And it debuted this week. And we are going to review it for you, among many other things. You have found The Wretched Hive, episode 10, for Friday, May 13th. We made it to 10 episodes, guys.
Woo!
10.
And we are... And we are celebrating with feedback tonight, thanks to Skype. But we are thrilled to be with you, feedback or not. I am Steve Baldwin, and the rest of the Wretched Hive is with me. So let me introduce them to you. I have my colleague and good friend, and your good friend, Greg Lent.
You know, I'm super happy to be here. It's been a big pile of bantha poodoo to get us to this point, figuring out all these issues. But I think we've got it settled, and I'm ready for a good show, Steve.
Awesome. I am too, and I'm glad you are. And I know somebody else is. Boy, we're getting some feedback. That's okay. We're just going to plow through this. Because he is a lifelong Star Wars fan, and he made it to episode 10 as well, barely. Scott Ivansky.
I'm here. I'm happy. We're going to have a great show. Ah, damn it. I'm feeling good tonight.
It's always good. Podcast recording night is always a good. I look forward to this all day long. It gets me through the workday, I'm telling you.
It does.
It's awesome. We also have with us the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
Nico Rodriguez. I'm here. We're all here. Skype is almost working, so hopefully we can get through this recording tonight.
If only someone would invent a free internet-based calling service that we didn't have to pay for, that we could just use and abuse to make podcasts that would actually work. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Give me something for free. God damn it.
More free stuff is good. And last but not least, Dave. Do not, under any circumstances, call him Harry Potter.
Good evening, everyone. Broadcasting to you from a new secure location. I am ready to go tonight.
Are you at Echo Base?
Yes, we are at Echo Base.
Nice.
He is relocated off of Dantooine and abandoned the former base.
Yes.
I see you've got your Han Solo... Echo Base ski parka on there.
Yep, official.
Nice and warm.
Yep, branded good. And everything.
All right, well, let's get it started, guys. First off, we just want to remind people to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Wretched Hive Podcast. Like us there. Boy, are you still getting that feedback, guys? I'm really getting it loud now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right.
Like we're picking up a transmission or something.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with over 6 million forums of communication, and this could be an imperial code.
Well, if you want to leave us a message in whatever imperial code you've got, provided you've got clearance, well, you've definitely got clearance. All you need to do is call us, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. We'll get you to our voicemail line. If you leave us a message, you might just get it played on the air. So give us a call, reach out. We'd love to hear from you, our faithful listeners. So guys, there's been a lot of news this week. Actually, last week we had May the 4th, and we didn't get to record last week, but just wanted to start off by asking you guys, what did you do? How did you celebrate your May the 4th?
I have some Adidas running shoes that I customized online that are all black and white. They have stormtrooper helmets on the heels and this big, elaborately kind of like cast or molded shape. The laces, I'll say Star Wars. The bottoms of the shoes have the original yellow Star Wars logo in a starry background kind of a thing. And then on the tongues, the little, like, it almost feels like the tag of a really cheap t-shirt. It's got the Stormtrooper faces printed on them. And I wore those with pride.
Wait a minute, you had those
many rebels in the face with them.
You had those custom made, or you had them already?
No. So Adidas has this thing, and they call it My Adidas, and you can customize a bunch of different shoes in a bunch of different ways, and they have a bunch of, I don't know how you want to say, but it's licensed Star Wars materials and images that you can use and incorporate into your shoes, and I went with the full Stormtrooper theme.
No kidding. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Very cool. All right. Who else wants to share? Greg, what'd you do on May 4th?
You know, I'm sorry to say it was a school night. It was it was a work day, whatever you want to call it. I called in sick. It was a giant fail. There was not much on my end to happen. I did catch I did watch The Force Awakens, though, to round out my evening. So that was the extent of it.
All right. Wow, this feedback is really bad. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Is anyone else there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muting my mic in case it's me.
Okay.
But apparently not.
Well, actually, it kind of cut out when you muted it. I wonder if it is you. All right. Mr. Ivansky, what did you do on May the 4th?
I actually watched the entire Force Awakens on Blu-ray completely now for the first time after watching all the extra footage and all the extra features and stuff. And a few other things as well. I watched some online videos and just checked out some stuff online. That's pretty much it.
Nice. But did you watch The Force Awakens on Blu-ray and on DVD on the 4th?
I did not. I've only watched on DVD prior to this, so I didn't want to put myself through that again, that lower standard of quality.
I can make you a VHS tape. You can go for the trifecta there.
Please, please. I would like that.
Go Betamax. Go Beta on that.
A special edition box, too, please.
I'm still looking for the Laserdisc version.
We need to get together for that Laserdisc version viewing.
Oh! I did watch. I do have a copy. I guess I can admit this on our podcast of that special despecialized edition of the original of A New Hope. And damn, that is good.
Yeah,
such a good version of that movie.
I do have the Empire and Return of the Jedi despecialized editions as well. They're quite large files. I think I'm supposed to see you sometime this weekend, so I'll see if I can get it together to bring it over to you this weekend.
That'd be great. Don't worry, Lucas. I paid for 150 copies of this. I'm just getting a different version. That's all.
That's right. Dave, what did you do on May 4th?
Honestly, I'm probably the lamest one here. I did not really celebrate. I was honestly packing all of last week, so...
But were you packing Star Wars paraphernalia?
I'm always packing Star Wars paraphernalia, Scott.
Nice. Well, I was in Oakland, California for a conference. And so May the 4th literally blew by almost without a mention. But I did have to talk a little bit at this conference. And... I was able to weave in some May the 4th into my into the talk I did. So it was nice.
For a minute there, I was hopeful that you were going to say that you did the full on commando Schwarzenegger body paint and everything raid of the Lucasfilm compound up there. That's what I was hoping for. You disappoint me, Steve.
Boy, I was in the right part of the state. I wonder if it's me. I'm really getting...
I'm going to jump in and say, I think it might be that new microphone you have there, buddy.
It's not new. It's the same old one. But what, guys, before I walked up to the podium, I did hit the old record button on my iPhone. And I recorded myself, so I don't know how. Hopefully, this will be loud enough for you to hear. This is me in front of about 100 registered dietitians at the CCLHDN. That's the California Coalition of Local Health Department Nutritionists. So here, I think I've got it queued up. Here I am, about halfway through my talk, explaining the meaning of May the 4th.
So Arnold Perkins said I should take risks, so I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here. So raise your hand if you know the significance of the comment earlier, May the 4th be with you. Okay. Okay, keep your hand up if you're a Star Wars fan. Okay, good. So I'm a Star Wars fan, so I told the board that I warned them that I was probably going to talk about Star Wars today. So. But it'll come around, so just hang with me. So the legend behind May the 4th be with you is that George Lucas was giving a talk, and he signed off his talk with the famous Star Wars line, which is May the 4th be with you. Right. And someone in the back of the room said, "What's happening on May 4th?" So, you know, they misunderstood that May the 4th be with you. And then that a fan grabbed onto that, and that was about 25 years ago. And since then, May the 4th has been Star Wars Day for fans. So that's how May the 4th came to be.
There you go. Nice. Representing at my conference.
That's fantastic. The nervous laughter from all the people in the room who want to admit they like Star Wars but can't quite bring themselves to do it. Love it.
Well,
I do guys, you can completely tell you're in Oakland from the sirens in the background, though.
Yes. Well, that was on the seventh floor of an office building in downtown Oakland in a conference room.
in all fairness, that could have been Detroit, too. True.
Well, I went on to describe Jedi. I went on to describe Jedi, and virtually everyone in the room knew what a Jedi was, but I went through and convinced them that they were all public health Jedi and that they needed to be very forthright and study hard and do the right thing. And so that was the thesis of my Star Wars comments.
I think this story would be even better if Governor Jerry Brown was there and the state of California representatives all were showing their appreciation for this, Steve. I think it would be magnificent, man. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Well, we did actually have the president, President Obama, and his wife Michelle dancing with some stormtroopers. I don't have that queued up, but I saw the video.
Oh my god!
It was the thing.
Saw that too. Oh. It was awkward. It was. but hey, good on him.
All right. Well. Let's talk about some news.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, we did get a gift on May the 4th from the fine folks over at Star Wars and StarWars.com. We got an announcement of Star Wars Celebration taking place this summer, actually, next month in June. But we also now have another Star Wars Celebration happening in April 2017 in Orlando. So according to StarWars.com, we've got this story. The rendezvous point for Star Wars Celebration 2017 has been confirmed. Set coordinates for Orlando, Florida, April 13 through 16, 2017 at the Orange County Convention Center. Tickets go on sale on Wednesday, May 25th. So any plans for Star Wars Celebration in Orlando a year from now? Because I'm telling you right now, I'd be down. You guys want to go? Let's make this happen.
I wish.
I don't know if I'll be making the trip to Orlando this year. I think that I will be enjoying myself in non-hurricane country, California.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm getting so much feedback in my headphones.
Yeah.
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 It's Yeah.
All right. Well,
damn it. Yeah,
I will jump out for a little bit.
Just mute your mic.
You guys continue on. Well, it's muted when I'm not talking.
No, click on the little mute button in Skype. There, it looks like a little microphone.
Yep.
Like if you just click on that when you're not talking. Hmm. No, it's not click because I can hear you.
Anything? I only turn it on to talk.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is that what you've been doing?
That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not what he was doing before. He had his mic.
By the way, guys, this is the worst phone sex I've ever paid for in my life.
Is it better when I do it like this?
Yeah, it is.
Look, you get what you pay for, and I'm pretty sure you're not paying much for this call.
Yeah, that is true.
All right.
All right, so jumping back in on it. Wait, when is Orlando? It's next year, right? 2017?
Yep, so we have Orlando, Florida, Star Wars Celebration, April 2017. April 13th, 2017. Right around spring break, I'm assuming.
I am interested, but it's hard for me to say what the budget's going to look like, you know, next month at this point for me, let alone April of 2017. But I'm interested. I would love to go check one of these things out.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to Orlando in a long time.
Dave, have you been to a celebration yet?
I have not been to a Star Wars celebration. I've been to Star Trek conventions. I've been to comic book conventions. I have not been to a Star Wars bit yet.
Steve, you've been to the one most recently, right?
I went last year, last April.
Okay.
In Anaheim. And I'm assuming the 2018 would be back in Anaheim. I'm kind of surprised that 2017 is in Orlando, frankly, with you know, the new movies coming out and Star Wars being Star Wars Celebration having been so successful in Anaheim. I'm surprised it didn't go for a repeat performance, but I would expect it to come back in 2018.
Yeah,
it's always been kind of a traveling roadshow, though, hasn't it? It's always been I don't think it's done 2 years in the same city ever.
That's true.
No, I think that's in the first 2 or 3 years it was in Indianapolis. And then the fourth year was in the fourth year it was in Los Angeles. I went to Celebration 4. That was 2007, 30th anniversary of Star Wars. I may be incorrect, though, on the 3 years prior to that. I'm going to double check that.
Yeah. Well, it is absolutely worth the price of admission. I mean, Star Wars Celebration last year was fantastic. There's no other way to describe it. It was just great.
Did they party like Palpatine had died?
They did Celebration 2 and 3 in Indianapolis. They did Celebrations 5 and 6 in Orlando. Ever since then, it's been alternating cities every year.
Yeah.
I want to say Celebration 1 was in Colorado or Denver.
Denver, Colorado. Yes.
Because I've heard stories about how it was just a torrential downpour the whole time. And vendors were outside in tents and, you know, suffering through floods and mud and everything.
Yes, that was actually in 1999, right before the release of Episode 1.
Right. Well, they did announce Celebration Europe is really ramping up. We've got a star-studded Oscar cast, a Star Wars cast. We've got Warwick Davis and David Collins as stage hosts. Director of Star Wars Rogue One, Gareth Edwards. Of course, Mark Hamill, Kathleen Kennedy. And I'm sure as we march forward in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get some more announcements for Star Wars Celebration Europe that's taking place next week. Or in the next couple weeks. June, right? Middle of June?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
I think it's middle of June.
No. July. 15th through the 17th.
Okay.
In London.
Okay.
Is that correct? Celebration Europe 3 is in London.
Yes, correct. Yes.
July 15th through the 17th.
Yep.
I will not be going to that.
I will not either, but we need to figure out how to get to Orlando. I'm just throwing it out there. It's in the States. We got a year to figure it out. Come on.
It's not at Disney World, right?
No, it's at the Orange County Convention Center there in Orlando, which is close enough to get to Disney, for sure. Okay.
Orlando is Disney.
Yeah.
True. Like Anaheim is Disney.
Right. But worse.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we had other Star Wars news, guys. In fact, a big story hit in the last couple of weeks that the new Han Solo, the young Han Solo, has finally been cast. Actor Alden Ehrenreich landed the part for the new movie that's going to be coming out about Han Solo, the standalone Han Solo film. This, according to, was first reported by Page6.com. And the title of the article is, "And the new Han Solo is actor Alden Ehrenreich. After thousands of actors were considered to portray the younger Han Solo for the Star Wars spinoff, Alden Ehrenreich has landed the coveted role. Hollywood sources tell us that Ehrenreich has signed on to play the iconic role made famous by Harrison Ford in the new movie slated for 2018, which will focus on Solo before he joined the Rebel Alliance. In my book, Alden Ehrenreich becomes the luckiest man alive on the planet." The guy hit solid gold with this. What do you think? Do you like this selection? Do you know Alden Ehrenreich's work? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar with the work, just from the publicity stills that I've seen. He certainly looks the part. He's got the physicality. He's got the right shape of the face. He's got kind of the right, you know, kind of devilish smile, if you will. Mm. I'm sure Harrison Ford is somewhere saying, "Kid, don't do it. You don't want to do this to yourself. Don't do it."
Well, Dave, it's actually funny that you say that, because a few weeks ago, Harrison Ford made an appearance on Ellen. And he actually had some advice for the actor that would be selected to take over the role. Check this out.
So let's talk about now. Someone we're not going to talk about why, because I don't know if everyone, it seems like everyone's seen the movie, but they are now auditioning a new Han Solo. They're right?
No.
It seems not a new
Han Solo. A young.
I see.
It's worse than that.
Oh.
It's a young Han Solo.
There's a lot of people auditioning.
Are there?
Yes, a lot of people want to play that role.
I'm flattered.
What tips do you have for them?
Don't do it. First, you know, it seems like everything's going swimmingly, and you put in 25, 30 years, and then they just let you go.
25, 30 years, and they kill off your character.
That's hilarious. I swear to God, I didn't know he'd done that when I made my my smart-ass remark earlier.
You know, in this whole promotional run for The Force Awakens, I have never seen Harrison Ford so personable. It's like an entirely different person in the past 20 years.
No doubt. He was such a curmudgeon. You know, he turned into this, you know, two-syllable answer sort of interview. And boy, with The Force Awakens, either he is getting paid to be nice, or he has really turned over a new leaf, because I did see one clip, and I think it might have been at it wasn't Celebration, but maybe Comic-Con, where there was like a 2-minute standing ovation for him, and he was visibly moved as part of a Star Wars panel, and he was visibly moved, and just came across as so genuine and so thankful, and that was a huge turning point for Harrison. So it's great to see this side of his personality come out.
You know, I kind of wonder, you look at Harrison Ford in the relationship with Han Solo, and I also think of David Duchovny and his relationship with Fox Mulder, and Duchovny was very, I don't think you could find somebody who wanted more of a separation from the character when he was done with the X-Files before the series ended. And he's kind of come back around to understanding and respecting what that role really meant for him professionally in a career. And now he's enjoying doing it again with Gillian Anderson and Chris Carter. And, you know, maybe Harrison Ford is drinking from the same Kool-Aid at this point.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time just keeping my mouth shut on this one because nothing has driven me more crazy than, like you, Steve, with C-3PO. Harrison Ford is one of the absolute worst interviews I've heard in the last 25 years. He is the worst person to listen to on any talk show. He mumbles through everything. It's sad and pathetic. And his distancing, like Dave was mentioning, like Fox Mulder, the whole character with Fox Mulder and David Duchovny, drives me up the wall. Those people, I get that the fandom and all that stuff drives them crazy, but these are roles. And here's the thing. You can say, you know, people might associate David Duchovny with Fox Mulder, and that's it. But even then, he went on to do other incredible roles like Californication. He was in Twin Peaks, for God's sakes. And people have an understanding, at least the people that are fans of him as an actor, can say he's not just pigeonholed into this one role, this one character. He's a diverse person. Same with Harrison Ford. My God, the guy is everything. He's Harrison Ford. He's Han Solo. He's Indiana Jones. He's every other character that, you know, oh my goodness, I'm losing it here. The Hunt for Red October series, all that character.
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, thank you. He's all these different characters, and he's just bent out of shape about wanting to kill Han Solo, and then he's like, all of a sudden he's heartfelt about, oh, then they're just going to kill me off after 25, 30 years. I'm calling bullshit on this guy. I'm sorry. I don't care how great of an American person, icon he is. Bullshit, Harrison. You know, you walk.
You do realize that was said in jest, though, right? You do realize he was kidding?
I know. He has a weird sense of humor, but that makes it even more weird as he gets old. He's kind of creepy, and it kind of freaks me out. It's like, dude, you're not the weird, funny, suave guy you were in 1977. Now you're the kind of creepy old guy with the one earring and who crashes a lot in airplanes and helicopters. You know what? At this point, just respect the fact that you have these parts, and now all of a sudden they're killing your character off when you were begging to have your character killed off in Return of the Jedi. I'm calling bullshit again. I'm calling bullshit on this guy. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm glad he's still playing the part, but stop it. Just stop it.
Well, I mean, I have a little different. I think that Harrison Ford really was not happy with the way that they handled the character in the original trilogy. I think his fear, his greatest fear, and many actors will say this, is that they get typecast for the role, the type of role that makes them famous. And I think Harrison had that fear going on. In this particular interview that we just played, I think it was said in jest.
Yeah.
But you know, that you're right though, Scott. He, for years, he wouldn't say anything nice about Star Wars at all.
No, I he mean, wouldn't.
Nothing. In fact, didn't he say that he would gladly play Indiana Jones again? And he never wanted to play Han Solo again. Just let the character die. I distinctly remember that, and I'm going, you know, why is Indiana Jones this deep, meaningful character for an actor, but Han Solo isn't? I never understood that, and so it's been nice for me to see him sort of come back down to earth and realize how much the fans appreciate his work and appreciate this character.
Well said. I will totally appreciate and respect exactly what you said right there. But I want to back something up. You said that about not being typecast, and like I mentioned earlier, pigeonholed, and typecast is definitely a better term for that. But at that point in his career, he was Han Solo and was already Indiana Jones. And at that point was starting to get bigger roles in movies outside that genre. He was becoming, you know, within a few years he was doing Witness and Mosquito Coast, and man, I'm pulling my IMDb cred.
Working Girl.
Working Girl. He was all over the place, and the guy was making hit after hit. Even the ones that weren't pulling in the Star Wars and Indiana Jones money, it was still like he was America's number. He was for years the top grossing actor of all time. Hmm. And I just can't sit there and listen to him on another interview, whether he's being snarky or his weird sense of humor. It got weird and tired enough that people started to be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? That's what drives me crazy. And then he's the one who went out and said, like you said, Steve, he can't see himself playing Han Solo again. He wanted that character to be killed off. But yeah, Indiana Jones. What? It's the same character. I mean, it's killing me. Sorry. My alcohol-fueled rant is just he sets me off. But I'm happy he's playing the part and is no longer playing the part, but we don't know he's cast in Episode 8, so we'll see. Maybe he'll be a Jedi ghost. We never knew Han was a Jedi, and he just appears all of a sudden, hanging out with Yoda and Hayden Christensen.
Well, how do we know Han Solo didn't have a twin brother?
Damn it! I knew it!
I'm actually more than a little worried they're going to do some kind of creepy age reduction thing like they did on Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War.
Oh, don't talk about it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, wait. We can talk about this, though. I'm just curious. For those of us who have seen it, how many had a Rogue One trailer on the front?
I did.
I figured out the difference. The special IMAX big version did not. The normal Joe Schmo version did.
That was my only disappointment with the film, was that there was not a Rogue One trailer on the front of it.
So did you see the IMAX version?
Oh, yeah. IMAX, 3D, okay. 4K, whatever frickin' souped-up thing there was, that was the one we saw.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there was scratch and sniff special effects that we could have had.
You want Rogue One trailer, you buy the $8 ticket.
No. Well, I forgot. So I was in the regular Joe Schmo version, and luckily for me, I was with my kids. We were all geeked out to see Captain America, and you were talking about Marvel all day long. I forgot that we were going to get the trailer until moments before, and then it was on the screen. So it was like, it was awesome. It was so cool because I was not expecting it. So yes, we did get it. It was really cool.
Damn it! I'm leaving the podcast. I'm going right now.
you should, because there actually is a Star Wars thing that I wanted to talk about, but out of respect for you, since you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to do it.
It's okay. You can go right ahead. It's fine.
Well, it's a throwaway gag, but there is a Star Wars reference in the movie,
yeah, which I absolutely, big one.
Absolutely loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disney, I applaud you.
Now,
Patton Oswalt, wherever you are, your head is exploding right now.
Did they mention the name of the movie, Dave?
Yes. Or,
because I remember, yeah. I was trying to remember the line earlier today, knowing that we were going to talk about this. I remember Spider-Man saying, do you remember that old Star Wars movie, the old Snow movie or something like that? But does he say The Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, he calls it that old movie, Empire Strikes Back.
It's like, you guys remember that really old movie? Did anybody ever see it? The Empire Strikes Back?
Okay.
And then you hear War Machine go, how old is this kid?
Yeah. Yeah, how did that make you feel, that old movie? You remember that old movie?
I get that all the time from my coworkers, so I'm used to it.
Man, that was like a red lightsaber through the chest for me.
Well, welcome to the dark side, my friend.
Old movie. Screw you. Millennials.
Hey. I'm a protected class now. I just took a seminar on this. I'm over 40. I'm considered a protected class now at work.
Yeah, but you're also a tall white male, so it doesn't apply to you.
Hey, I will take what I can get at this point.
All right. Well, it was great. Scott, you need to go see it so we can talk about it. Come on, man. I can't believe you haven't seen that Civil War yet.
Oh, did I unmute it at the perfect time? Sweet!
Perfect time. You know, Scott, you have to go see it. Just take the family. You guys will all love it. It is Greg can back me up on this. That might be a better Captain America movie than The Winter Soldier.
Wow, that's a bold statement, because that is a damn fine movie. Yeah. Second favorite Marvel movie now, I think, of all time. Forget the family. I'm going solo, man. My kid went and saw it by himself on Friday night, and Karen doesn't want to see it, so I might be doing that solo tomorrow night.
I actually like Winter Soldier better. Civil War, I thought, was a great – I thought it was a great movie, but it's Winter Soldier will still be my favorite. Avengers is way up there too. The first Avengers, just because it's kind of it was the first one that popped the cherry. So I mean, it was amazing and to behold. But I think Winter Soldier is still my favorite. Civil War way up there though.
Well, it's starting to get into that argument, like what's better, Star Wars or The Empire Strikes Back? Because Star Wars was the original one, but I myself would say Empire is the superior film.
Yeah, holy crap! Sorry for going off on a tangent, but Greg, I was always in the mindset that Avengers was the better film, but as time is moving on here, I'm thinking Winter Soldier for me is the better movie in what's being presented there, because I look back now and that end sequence, as great as it is as a comic book sequence, is almost, I hate to say this, a little cheesy. There's some cheesy moments in it that kind of, when you look at Winter Soldier, just doesn't compare. It's just a better made film. So, but still absolutely love Avengers. And sorry off the tangent. You know what? This is still Marvel and Disney, so I don't care. It works somehow
in the same families.
we are talking about Star Wars and other stuff, right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. And
oh,
you know,
I muted it. I'm sorry.
It is the Disney marketing genius.
Yes.
To link the original trilogy for their new, brand new, shiny new Star Wars franchise that they just, you know, produced a movie that made over $2 billion to link back to the original trilogy. It's a brilliant move, and it works in the script. It's actually a key moment in the final epic battle scene that takes place there at the airport. I mean, it's perfectly placed. It was great. Hats off to them, man.
Yeah, you know, it is very specific to what's happening in the scene at the moment. It is super specific. But do you think that it's also, and this is just me and a conspiracy theory going off on a whim here, but do you think that it's also because Disney doesn't own the distribution rights for A New Hope that they kind of want to just cock block it just a little bit?
I'm sure that wasn't what was being talked about as they were scripting it, but when... It's probably one of those things where the writers come up with it and they're like, oh, and it also means this, and people all kind of pat themselves on the back for it. Mm.
Of course, didn't we think that about Episode 7 with the opening line in Episode 7, that it was a knock on Lucas and, you know, talk about conspiracy theories.
Well, if you want to do that, the whole film is a knock on A New Hope. I'm not saying
that's
a
knock
that's
off.
A bad thing.
You're thinking knock off. Not knock.
No,
reboot.
That first line was, I think, a happy accident. If they had put the Jar Jar Binks skull in on Jakku, that would have totally been a knock on Lucas.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, JJ said they considered it. I don't know if he was joking or not, but that would have been brilliant.
So does anybody remember the cartoon or the comic book rabbit Jaxxon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Apparently, his skeleton is in the Rebels cartoon.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'll have to dig up the pictures and put them on the Twitter feed or something like that. But I just saw that today. Yeah, they put the skeleton, because it's the same costume. Steve, you probably don't know what we're talking about. The early days of the Marvel comic, like, after they went through the original trilogy, starting, I think he debuted like issue 7 or 8 or something like that, they had this basic green bunny that followed around the characters, and he was like the action hero of the comic and the same with Jaxxon. Really a strange character to be putting into the Star Wars universe, but yeah, he was basically a green bunny.
Yeah, you know, no, I've heard about Jaxxon.
I guess you think kind of a proto Rocket Raccoon maybe, but it was kind of a lame character. Yeah. And yeah, apparently his skeleton is in the Rebels cartoon. I'll have to dig that back up and throw it on the feed for you guys.
Please do.
All right. Well, we had some other news from another movie that's coming out pretty soon.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One reconnaissance. Rogue One reconnaissance.
Request one round elimination ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
Well, guys, we had some interesting news from fellow podcasters over at MakingStarWars.net, who got a personal verification of the fact that Darth Vader will be in Rogue One. If you hop over to MakingStarWars.net, there's a nice article called Happy Revenge of the Fifth, a Rogue One Star Wars story cameo personally verified. And they go into quite a bit of detail here about the look of the costume that one of the podcasters there, Jason Ward, he's the editor-in-chief of MakingStarWars.com. He recalls his opportunity to take a look at the costume that was being produced for Rogue One. He writes, the costume is the A New Hope costume down to the fine details. The upper armor has the tunic going over the top of the shoulders, just as it did in Episode 4. The belt buckle is the same. The inside of the cape is that shiny material. The gloves are identical and not like the ones in the following films. The lights on the belt are the same. The chest piece lights match perfectly. The mask is not the symmetrical Revenge of the Sith mask. It appears to look just like the original did. The neck of the mask and the windows peak are all there. The lenses have that amber look to them. So this is a personal account of a viewing of the Darth Vader costume. And just reading this, I am approaching excitement levels that were near Episode 7. I am really digging how they're rolling this out between the trailer that we talked about a couple of episodes ago and this story. I am getting geeked out about Rogue One. What are you guys thinking?
Well, I just want to go back a little bit of semantics here. You said that I don't understand in this fandom. The Revenge of the Fifth. I just want to say that in America, Cinco de Mayo is a huge drinking holiday, I think. So if we've got May the 4th be with you, you got Cinco de Mayo drinking day. It's a lot of tequila, a lot of Dos Equis. Wouldn't that make it Revenge of the 6th? If you're hungover and dead from Cinco de Mayo drinking.
Well, I think the idea is the Star Wars fans go out and party it up on May the 4th, and then they suffer through Revenge of the 5th. I think that's the deal.
I don't like it.
All right, but did you like the story about the Darth Vader costume that apparently someone witnessed with their own eyes and wrote about? Which is where I was going.
I see it. Well, I won't believe it till I see it on the silver screen.
All right.
That's a good point to take, but yeah, if it is exactly what they're saying, it could just be somebody just doing a recount of what the actual costume looks like from A New Hope.
Yeah. I mean, we did find out that the Stormtrooper armor from that little teaser that we got from the Rogue One is identical to the Episode 4 Stormtrooper. So somebody could just be saying, oh, well, yeah, the Darth Vader costume is going to be exactly the same, too, because they're doing the Stormtroopers exactly the same, and let's get a lot of attention with this internet clicks and say that Darth Vader is going to be in it, and he's going to be the same thing.
I don't know about that. These guys at Making Star Wars are Star Wars fans. I don't know if they're fishing for clicks here. So the opening paragraph of this article, on a recent episode of Now This Is Podcasting, we discussed having seen Darth Vader from a future Star Wars film. The photos were amazing and showed Darth Vader posing. We also glimpsed Jyn posing in what appears to be the same location with her helmet that goes with her black suit we see in the new teaser.
Mm.
So these guys saw some photos from a photo shoot that was taken from the set, apparently, of Rogue One.
I'm not saying that they're full of it. I'm just saying I'm going into the movie with no preconceived ideas or notions, and I will just be extra excited if he is in it.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
I just want to know how these guys get connections that we don't get. Where are our Rogue One sources like that? I had my guy. He failed me.
You know what? I have one who I haven't touched base with in a while. I need to touch base.
Go touch his base, Scott.
I will touch some base.
Is this George?
No.
Okay.
George doesn't return my calls anymore.
Not since he returned the Jedi?
Are we talking Stephanopoulos or...
No, I think this George is working on some experimental films right now.
I think he is, yeah. He's not happy.
Trying to open a can of tuna.
He better get a bib.
Well, when I read this article, what was interesting to me is the nature of the Darth Vader helmet, which I was always fascinated how, you know, Darth Vader got like bigger and shinier as the movies went on. You know, in episode 4, that helmet looks like someone crafted it by hand. You know, and it's not quite symmetrical. It's battle worn. It's especially in the opening scene with Leia in the hallway of the Tantive IV. There, you know, it looks used, and it looks like someone crafted that with their own two hands. Where, as an Empire, and then especially in Jedi, when he walks down the ramp onto the Death Star in Return of the Jedi, that, you know, he's big, he's shiny. It's clearly not the same helmet. So to go back to the episode 4 version of the helmet, I think would be very cool.
Yeah, with the red or amber tinted lenses, and yeah, I know I get what you're saying, Steve. I had a terrible joke lined up because by the time he gets to Return and he's all nice and shiny and perfect and everything, mm-hmm. and you mentioned him coming down the ramp of the Imperial shuttle, the Tidarium. Mm-hmm. There is a moment, and it's a blooper in the film, where he actually magically passes through the whole cockpit of the ship. If you rewatch that scene, his head just somehow floats right through solid metal. It's amazing. It's one of the best things ever.
Really? You're talking about Jedi or Empire?
In Jedi, yeah. When he's first coming off the gangway plank or the gangplank, whatever that thing's called, off the shuttle. You'll see him. His head floats through the shuttle itself.
You're kidding. I've never noticed that.
It's awesome. Yeah. But
Force ain't no joke, man.
The reason why, though, you can't scuff up that armor. It's got to float through it, or else he's going to look like he was in the first film. That's terrible.
So is that on the Blu-ray disc that you can see that?
I don't know. I don't own the Blu-ray.
Okay. Wait a minute. You don't own the Star Wars Blu-ray? I thought you had every version.
And you call yourself a fan.
Oh, no, yeah, no. Man. I have every version up to the Blu-ray. I refuse to buy the Blu-ray. We've discussed this before.
Yeah.
Based off of the fact that they're, one, not giving me the originals, and two, well, now Lucas isn't really involved, continues to mess with this product. So if you'd like to look at the despecialized edition, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, I need to see this.
That's a shout out to you, Lucas, wherever you are.
Reissue the Blu-ray,
please,
and include the fan favorites on there. Come on,
please, it's not that difficult.
You know, before we got one more Rogue One. I want to sidetrack just a little bit since we're talking about Rogue One. I want to talk about what they are calling the legacy films right now. So we know that there's going to be a Han Solo film.
Yes.
As we discussed earlier. There are have been rumors about a Boba Fett movie, and there are rumors about an Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think that the Boba Fett movie is probably more likely at this point. Because if you think about, let's talk about something else we were touching on is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Disney obviously has the formula for making a successful franchise. They've done it with the Marvel movies. You have the Avengers is the kind of the glue that holds everything together. You have Iron Man, which is kind of the action standout of the group. You have Captain America, which is kind of your political espionage thriller of the group. Guardians is your crazy one, kind of out there, kind of spacey. Ant-Man was your Ocean's 11, if you will. Hmm. Your kind of crime capery kind of thing. And Doctor Strange looks like, it really looks kind of like Inception. I think it looks really good. I was really impressed with the trailer for Doctor Strange, but it kind of just a mind F, you know, kind of just really trip you out and take you to things that you haven't seen before. I think we can do something similar with Star Wars, guys. I think we can. And we made a joke a couple weeks ago, maybe about a month ago now, about Ben Kenobi staring at young boys in the desert. But in all seriousness, I think you take Ben Kenobi and you mix in a little bit of Clint Eastwood from the Man with No Name trilogy. And the one that really would be kick-ass is you mix him with Bud from Kill Bill, where he's just the loner out in the desert, living in the trailer, waiting for people to come. And when they come to, you know, try and take what he's got, he's just messing them up. He is burying bodies live down in the ground behind his little hut in Tatooine, you know. And there's just the whole Jedi graveyard out in the back of Obi-Wan Kenobi's enemies.
Hey, that totally makes sense because, you know, the Jedi Order is completely defunct at this point. And, yeah, he could just be living by his own rules at this point, minus going over the edge and becoming total Sith. You know, he's Bud, man. That's great.
I need to write this down. I may be asking for your guys' help on this. I got a winner here.
So you're saying like Kenobi is a Ronin, basically?
Basically, yeah. Well, you know, you think of it too. You go back to the Kill Bill reference. So Bud, you know, he works in the strip club by day, but he's got the Hattori Hanzo sword back in his trailer that he's just sitting on. He's got, you know, it's a priceless, you know, tool that he's got there, and it's just hiding in his closet in the trailer, and he keeps it secret. But when somebody tries to mess with his brother, he steps in and is like, bam, he just buries her.
It could. Mm. I see it.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I don't see Obi-Wan being that kind of a guy. I see Obi-Wan as being a guy when people come in, he just, these are not the droids you're looking for. And then it goes, and he just, you go wander the deserts forever, and then they just walk away.
Okay, Obi-Wan chopped a guy's arm off for touching his friend.
Yeah, I was about to say.
For touching his young boy in the desert.
That's when he was old and grumpy, crotchety, senile. Okay. This is not young Obi-Wan, just lost all of his brothers in arms. His Padawan is now ultimate Sith Darth Vader.
I'm jumping in on this one. I have to jump in for you guys on this. Nico, I got to take this from you, man.
Shouldn't he be depressed and not wanting to do anything in the desert?
No, you even spelled it out yourself.
You're only proving my point.
Yeah, you're proving his point. Here, his entire order is gone, pretty much. Yoda's on some swamp planet smoking whatever. And you know what? He just wiped out his apprentice. It wasn't just his apprentice went bad. He cut off three of his limbs. Seriously, this is great. This is awesome stuff. The dude is a loose cannon. He's just going to lose it in the middle of the desert, and he's going to start burying bodies. Like, oh, this is perfect. Let's do this.
Scott, you've got a co-writing credit. Nico, you're cut out.
Yeah, just wait till my blog hears about that.
Well,
all right, moving on.
I could see it. I could see them doing something totally different with that character. And just, he goes a little loony for a little while, you know?
Would that make the Han Solo movie like The Italian Job? Han's all about smuggling and stealing and making it happen.
It's, you know, he's Dread Pirate Roberts in space is what he is, right?
Yes.
Well, he's not a pirate. He's a smuggler. I think of him more as a sneaky thief and less of a cutthroat. Yeah, he's a, you know.
But see, that's what Lucas wants you to believe. Here's the deal. He shot Greedo, man. He shot Greedo.
Yeah, he's not afraid to shoot Greedo, but he does it smooth. He doesn't stand up and punch him in the face and shoot him a bunch of times and run out screaming. He does it under the table. And then he flips a coin at the bartender and he walks away. He's not a, yar, give me your booty.
Dude, the guy shot him under the table and threw a coin at the bartender and said, Sorry about the mess.
You think a pirate says sorry for anything?
Have you not seen a pirate film?
Well, that opening scene in episode 4, or not the opening scene, but the first scene you see Han Solo when you meet Han Solo. I remember being a kid, and we've talked about this. I think it was one of our early episodes where we talked at length about our problems with Return of the Jedi. But the difference in the character between episode 4, who is a cold-blooded killer, and like you're intimidated by by Han Solo after that opening scene. You're like, you don't mess with this guy. You know, he just totally blows Guido away. And then, you know, by the end of the original trilogy, he's loving up to Leia or whatever, and he softens up. But that Han Solo in the first movie, wow, totally different character. And they did model it after a space pirate. I mean, I think we need to broaden your definition of what pirate is, other than just like, arg, matey, where's your treasure? You know,
right?
I mean, he was a smuggler. He was a pirate. He was a rogue.
I respect what you're saying. I see what you're saying, but I just really feel the guy in the first film is a cutthroat badass.
All right, I'm having another vision, guys. It's going to be Smokey and the Bandit for the Han Solo movie.
Left turn, Jabba. Clyde.
No, that's Any Which Way But Loose.
Oh, sorry.
Smoking the So the Millennium Falcon is the Trans Am.
Oh yeah.
Chewbacca's Jerry Reed, and Jabba the Hutt is Jackie Gleason. Come on.
He's making a beer run in 12 parsecs.
Hey, Carrie Fisher at that era did resemble who's the love interest in Smokey?
Sally Field,
yeah. They're like practically identical. All right. Well,
so good. I need to write this movie now too. God, I'm so busy.
You're gonna have a busy couple of years, my friend. Lawrence Kasdan, are you listening? So we did have another Star Wars Rogue One story, and this was kind of a fun one. Some brilliant people created an ode to the Star Wars Rogue One trailer in Lego, and it's just so well done. Did you guys get a chance to watch this?
I have.
Oh man, it's so good. There's one video out there that's a side-by-side comparison of the two trailers, the original theatrical and then the Lego version. Really, really fun. I saw another video similar to that. That's for a scene in The Matrix that I just love. But this one was a lot of fun.
Oh, I thought you were playing it.
No, it's the same audio as the regular trailer. We've heard it before on the show. Okay. But yeah.
Speaking of Lego, have you seen that the new Lego Force Awakens is going to have backstory and explanations and things that are actually movie and canon related that are not in the movie?
Yes, I saw that. The Wrathcar scene with Han and Chewie
mm-hmm.
is one of them, right, Nico?
Yeah, there you get to hunt Rathtars. They're also going to do like a whole Jakku explanation with some new old man character. I'm guessing it's going to be the guy who gives Poe Dameron that piece of map to find Luke.
That's correct.
Kind of explain who he's going to be. But he looks like he's going to be pretty badass in that game. He's got a little cane walking stick that you see him beat up on people with. And what else? I think they're explaining why 3PO has the red arm in not the comic book. Well, they probably or are going to explain that in the comic book, but they're also going to be doing that in the Lego game, I think.
This is a guy's name you mentioned. The old man, Lor Santeca?
Lor Santeca, exactly.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have we, okay, I'm just, I don't know if I've missed that. Have we seen him in the Star Wars universe before?
No, I don't think so.
Because he talks about, like, he knows Leia. He talks about her as being royalty. Like, we should have seen him or known him while she was still Princess Leia. And how he's going to... Hopefully this will begin to make things right. Like, he's done something wrong in the past.
Yeah.
I hope that's explained more in the next film. I really do.
Yeah, because that was a character that seems like he's got so much depth and so much information for this universe, and he's killed in the next 15 seconds that you see him.
Yeah, complete waste of a character. And really hope they build some background to who he was.
Yeah, they did. They made a Lego game about it.
Well, the way we're the way that Star Wars is rolling out news now is really interesting, right? So, in the past, you know, we've gotten some clues about Episode 7 characters, for instance, through the Topps trading cards, right? So, just the way they're rolling out news and information is really fascinating, and so we're getting some canon through Lego, some through video games. By the way, there was another story about we're going to get a new Star Wars EA title every year for the next 3 or 4 years, they're saying, including the next version of Star Wars Battlefront. Battlefront 2 will be coming out next year. And a lot of all of this stuff is being canonized, you know, so it's just really interesting how, and of course the novels... It's just fascinating how we're getting our Star Wars news and character development from other products, from products other than the films.
In some ways, it's mimicking how it was done in the old days. Obviously, in the old days. Wow, I can't believe I said that. My son would be so proud of me right now. Characters like Boba Fett was introduced in the holiday special as a cartoon character. Prior to Empire Strikes Back, and we knew nothing about it unless you watched that holiday special that one time. And then again, the Topps cards, there were scenes that were cut out that, and even some of the books, the novelizations had specific scenes. I still have some of them in a box that I'll pull out every once in a while, and it's like, oh, wow. Eventually saw these 25, 35 years later in deleted scenes on other people's Blu-rays. but yeah, I find it interesting that they're doing something similar but more modern with the rollout of Topps cards with all the character names.
It almost seems like Disney is forcing you to explore the expanded universe to fully understand it, whereas I feel like in the other two trilogies, you can pretty much get a grasp on everything from just watching the movies. Where the expanded universe really is expanded, and it's if you want to know more, you can go do that. Whereas now it feels like, well, if you want to know what's going on here, you're going to have to go over there and get it. And by the way, you got to pay for it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is genius for them. That's the Disney marketing genius, making you pay to get the whole story instead of getting more story somewhere. They're making you get the story in different places.
It's the one thing they kept from the whole Lucas thing.
Yeah.
Lucas, we didn't know what Ewok was. It wasn't mentioned in the movie Return of the Jedi, but damn it, if you bought every action figure and bought every book and every special program and Topps cards, you knew what an Ewok was.
Yep. Well, guys, we did have some news this week about Episode 8. Episode 8 news seems to be flowing like mad lately, between the actors posting on Twitter and Instagram and stories being written, photos being released. And there was an interesting article on Inquisitor.com. It's Inquisitor.com. About the possibility of a whole new Luke being introduced in Episode 8. And this is a more angry Luke. In fact, it was a rumor that was circulating around a story that appeared on Reddit that was offering, reading from the webpage Inquisitor.com now, offering what one user claims a sneak peek into a very interesting scene. According to this individual, at some point during the scene in Episode 8, instead of showing up with an armed strike force of First Order stormtroopers, Kylo Ren arrives to confront Luke alone and sets in for a chat with Luke and Rey. And the conversation begins in a civil matter, which eventually erupts, resulting in a scene somewhat unparalleled in Star Wars canon. Quote, a few weeks ago they blew up an Atch to Hutt. According to my source, Kylo and Rey have a conversation that Luke does not like. Luke tries to stop them and gets angry, and the whole hut they're in disintegrates, just blows up. So this article was sort of pontificating about Luke Skywalker's temperament in Episode 8. And are they going to make him more aggressive? What is his personality going to be like after spending, 30 years in hiding? So I just thought this was interesting. What do you guys think? Are we going to get the Luke that we saw at the end of Return of the Jedi, or are we going to get something completely different in Episode 8?
Well, I guess, even the Luke that you see from the end of Empire to the beginning of Jedi is a completely different character. Aside from being broken from the battle at the end of Empire and just kind of a shell of a person there, he's still very young. He's still very gung-ho. When he walks up to Jabba's palace in the beginning of Jedi, he's got a lot of confidence. He's very commanding in his presence. It's really kind of shocking, the difference in the character just from the one movie to the next. So I can imagine, having tried to restart the Jedi Order as it is and having failed at that and having taken some time to be, I guess, introspective on this island all by himself. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that he'll be more prone to snap, I suppose. Sure. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, doesn't part of you just want to see just a pissed off Luke who is the Jedi Master, just, turn some stormtroopers into confetti,
don't you full just... Yoda versus Dooku?
Oh yeah. There's a scene in I want to say it was Heir to the Empire. Scott or Dave, you may know better than I on this one, but one of the first scenes in that Luke has in that book, he throws his lightsaber and decapitates a bunch of sand people or troopers or so. I can't remember what it is now, but I remember reading that and thinking to myself, well, that's the Luke I want to see. I want to see the warrior, the guy that's not going to take any shit from anybody, with just full on Jedi powers. And
yeah. I think that's Heir. If it's not Heir to the Empire, then it's Dark Empire, which also shows a really interesting Luke throughout that the first series.
Right.
That's fascinating that you guys both brought this up. If you really look at his progression, I think Greg kind of hit on this a little bit. You watch him in Empire, it is interesting. He goes in like Yoda basically tells you and tells you, you the audience, he goes in and just says, if you leave now, you won't complete your training. You don't have full control of your powers. He goes and confronts Vader. He loses. he is a broken person by the end of the film. But what's amazing about Empire, again, Empire just shines in so many ways, is you see Luke, after he's been beaten and broken, he's hanging there calling out for last-ditch effort and reaches Leia. There's that great moment where they get him, bring him into the Falcon, they put the gear on his arm, and he's just sitting there having this like peaceful moment. The pain's still there, but he's having this peaceful moment of like, it almost, for me as an audience member, watch that, as especially as a kid, was like, he was impulsive, he did everything Yoda said would happen, it happened, and now he's having this moment, it's like, I was wrong, I see what happened, and here's my moment where I'm growing as a character, I'm growing as a person, and I need to get over this moment. And that moment is when he's having the connection with Vader as they're desperately trying to get the hyperdrive in gear and take off. Mm. As they're getting closer and closer to the Star Destroyer and are going to be pulled in, that happens all in that moment. When you see him, like Greg said, and you go into Return of the Jedi, he's a totally different character. If you look at the expanded universe material that is no longer canon, there's about a year that takes place in between Empire and Return. And in that time frame, they built a whole multimedia extravaganza event around that called Shadows of the Empire. And it was a really fascinating read. It wasn't the best one, but it was fascinating to see Luke's progression and growth in that period. And what you see on the bonus Blu-ray deleted scenes is when Luke is sitting in the cave on Tatooine prior to Jabba's palace. He's technically completing his training by finalizing, rebuilding his brand new lightsaber. He's got this kind of peaceful Obi-Wan essence about him while he's sitting there putting the little hologram plans in R2, and he's about to set out on this mission to save his friend and move on and find Vader and complete this quest that he's on. And I love that, because as you see his progression through Return of the Jedi, there's a moment where he starts to slip back into it when he's on the Death Star and the Emperor is egging him on, and he finally just says, fuck it, I'm going to take him out. And he does. He goes back to his aggressive side. He grabs that saber off that. He's going to kill the Emperor. He is angry Luke. And I think that is an amazing moment in that film. I rip Return of the Jedi apart left and right, but the best part of that movie for me is watching that final sequence where he is going to take down the Emperor, and it is what any one of us would do in that moment. Do you see that moment sitting there, and you are fighting it? Every ounce of your body and mind are sitting there going, this is not the right thing to do. And finally, just like, defeat is all around me, and the last thing I can do, grab that saber and just cut this old man down. And he does. He would have done it if Vader didn't stop him. There's no doubt in my mind he would have just wiped that dude out, taking that little hover chair with him or whatever that thing was too. his little emperor throne. Anyway, sorry for my long rant, but seriously, it's fascinating to see that. And if that Luke appears in episode 8, I'm all for it. I think if he has had such a defeat in his life as a person who's transitioned into the Obi-Wan character, who now has to train a bunch of new Padawans, and those Padawans either got slaughtered by Kylo Ren, and he's the one who feels responsible for it, you're going to see a lot of that similarities of the old Luke, I'm really hoping, come through in episode 8. I want to see that Luke come out. If he's training Rey, and he's just angry, and he's letting some of that emotion out on her in the training, I think that's going to be amazing. Anyway, that's where I was going with that. Long-winded.
Well, I think it would be great to see Luke dealing with his inadequacies and dealing with his pain. And now, you know, Rey has come and given him another chance. But, you know, he still has some healing to do. And I want to see in a Star Wars film that's one of the chapter films, the proper Star Wars films, I want to see a Jedi just act like a Jedi and just kick ass. You know, I never quite got. I was so excited to see that from Anakin in episodes 2 and 3, and I just don't feel like it ever quite got there. Yeah. I think that this could be, with the mix of his power and his passion and the fact that he's broken and that he screwed up, I think that could really lend itself to some interesting plot points with Luke. And I hope we see a different Luke, because I don't want to see the guy at the end of Return of the Jedi who's you know, feels good about what he's done and he's on top of the world. I want to see a broken down Luke who needs to redeem himself.
Well, we got to ask this question, though. How up to epic lightsaber fights is, 63-year-old Mark Hamill going to be up to?
Well, that's true.
He's going to be that badass as an actor?
Well, I don't think you're going to get a fight on the level of the Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor, or even the Darth Maul fight from Episode One. I don't think you'll get anything on that level. But I think given they made a somewhat believable 90-year-old Christopher Lee lightsaber fight, I think they could do fine with Mark Hamill as well.
Yeah, and I want to throw this out there. Great point, Greg. You take the other lightsaber battles and you make comparisons. One of the most intense lightsaber battles for me is the end of Return of the Jedi between Vader and Luke. And it's not just because of how, like, you look at the Episode 1 battle and you look at the Episode 2 battle, whether CG was added in or not. Yes, they are incredible. They're both characters are young and at the prime of their lives. But you look at the battle between Luke and Vader, and there's more going on there than just, you know, how fast can we swing a saber?
Yeah.
There's emotion and there's power in there, and there's a lot of other things that are in play that make that battle so much more valuable to the trilogy, to the whole saga, and that's what I would like to see. I don't need to see Luke jumping around like Yoda in Episode 2. I really, in fact, for God's sake, don't do that. Don't make Luke doing jumping jacks or something. I can't. That would just take me out of the moment. But give him the power and the presence to just be this dominant Jedi who's had, like Steve was saying, who's been broken, who's had a ton of traumatic moments happen, and just give him a great moment with Kylo. I'm assuming it's going to be Kylo Ren, but I don't know.
Well, did you guys play The Force Unleashed, that game?
Both of them.
So what I love about this game is you can play as Vader, and you can just about rip people in half with the Force, right? I mean, you can just thrash people, and that's I want to see Luke go off like that. What came to mind, Scott, is when you were talking was the difference in the intensity of the different battles between lightsaber battles. In Episode 1, for instance, which I think Obi-Wan and Darth Maul, to me, is my favorite lightsaber battle, versus the Luke and Vader battle in Episode 6. So, you know, in terms of, like, fast intensity with real-life actors that clearly trained for months and months to play out that scene with Ray Park and who's our favorite guy, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ewan McGregor.
I mean, that's just fantastic. The great thing about Luke and Vader at the end of Episode 6 was that it was three movies in the making, right? It was almost 6 hours of film that had built up for this moment, and that's what made it so intense.
And it delivered.
Yeah.
It delivered. I mean, there was, like, my thing was, there's more going on there. That mind game that's being played between Luke and Vader still is amazing to me.
Right.
The power switch between Luke and Vader. Luke has the upper hand. Vader has the upper hand. Oh, wait, Luke's kind of in the hiding now. He doesn't want to confront Vader. Oh, Vader starts toying with him and starts telling him, well, if you can't turn, then I'm going to take your sister. Holy crap. Right. You just unleashed a fury of, seriously, that Luke moment that's anger just unleashed right there. You mentioned Star Wars Unleashed, The Force Unleashed. Great games and a great way of personifying that. You see that in Episode 8, I'm guaranteeing you're going to see one hell of a lightsaber battle.
No doubt.
And we know JJ's capable of it. I'm sure Rian Johnson's capable of it. You know, I love the lightsaber battle in episode 7. It may not be that long, but there are moments like that that just were reflected. That intensity when you see the saber fly past Kylo into Rey's hand is... You know what? I stopped right there. I was almost crying in the theater, for God's sakes. I'm like...
It's a great scene. It's a great scene.
I'm getting...
You talk about characterizations and how they're going to carry these things forward, and you mentioned Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Just to back up a second, I think the character of Vader that I want to see, or the version of Vader that I want to see in Rogue One, and again, I'm going to compare it to another movie, he's almost got to be, you know, Jason from Friday the 13th. Hmm. He's got to be the guy that they're running from.
Yeah.
He's the most badass MF-er in the universe.
Yes.
And if he shows up, it's got to be certain death. So if they play him as just this silent, foreboding presence going through the movie, force choking everybody who gets in his way, I would have no problems with that. I would be terrified and just enamored with that character to no end.
Right.
Yeah, there's a great point somebody made on a blog a long time ago. The difference between, and I love the lightsaber battle, Steve, from episode 1, but I want to throw this out there. One of the most disappointing things for me for episode 1, and the one thing I was most excited about, is usually the villains in the movies bring out so much just character and interesting content in a film. But you looked at Darth Maul, and his introduction in that film is one of the lamest things that could have happened. They could have made him so much more evil. When you see Vader for the first time, what's happening? He's tracking down a ship. They capture the ship. They blow up the door. His troops come in and slaughter a bunch of rebels. The first thing you see Vader do is storm through this door. He finds the captain of the ship and chokes him and kills him. Mm-hmm. That was, as a kid, that scared the shit out of me. I was like, this dude, don't mess with him ever. He will kill you. And then later on, we find out after 3 movies, he tortured his daughter. This guy, and what did Ray Park do? Again, I'm going to pick on Ray Park, but he's all sitting there like, what are we going to do? I'm really angry. Let's track some people down. Ooh, I'm still driving my cool badass ship around the galaxy. Ooh, one of these days I'm going to use my lightsaber. And you know what? Have him kill somebody. Just take somebody out. Show the dark side. So yes, I agree in a weird way, Greg. You need to show that Vader is this terrifying person. He's running the Galactic Empire with Tarkin. And as far as we know in the movie, whoever else is running in the background there, the Emperor, Snoke, whoever's going to be running that thing. But
see, I think that's not a fair comparison then, because Darth Maul was the secret apprentice. Emperor's champion, where Darth Maul was his kung fu master, ninja assassin sort of apprentice. And we don't know how long Darth Maul was his apprentice. We don't know how trained he is. We don't know how badass he is, other than we know that he can do a bunch of crazy backflips and has a really cool double-edged lightsaber. We don't really know much about Maul to where we can have any sort of expectations from him.
True. I love your point, Nico, but I'm going to point out a couple things on there. One, the guy before him was Darth Sidious, and he didn't really follow in the same footsteps as all the other dark apprentice. The whole idea of there's one master and one apprentice. He's like, hey, I'm the apprentice. I don't think so. I'm just going to kill my master and take over everything. Maul could have been the same way. I don't know if Maul knew that or not, but seriously, next thing you know, I mean, he's just a secret assassin. Well, if you're a secret assassin, first of all, Darth Sidious should be picking a secret assassin that is red-faced with black tattoos all over his face and devil horns wearing emo clothes. There's a problem there. You stand out a little bit.
Well, we find out from the Clone Wars that that's a whole race of beings that's in this universe, so that's not that weird. I mean, he's not a unique character in his appearance.
Okay, fair enough. Still, I'd go with the non-devil horned emo cloak wearing guy. Somebody that might blend in. I didn't see a lot of those. What are they? Ithtarians? What is he again?
That sounds right, but I'm not sure on pronunciation.
Isn't the legend, or isn't the story that they tattoo the babies with the red markings on their face?
Is it the red or the black? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It's been a while since I looked up that information. Yeah. Sorry.
No.
I'll have to look it up again. But you know what? Maul's brother is yellow and black. So, I mean, come on. See, you could tone that down a little bit. Blend. That's all I'm saying. If you're an assassin, you got to blend.
Dathomirian Zabrak.
Dathomirian. From Dathomir. That's right.
Dathomir.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
All right. Well, we had another one final story from episode 8. And this one was interesting. I put in the show notes here, guys, about potential filming episode 8 in the Palm Springs area. Of course, we're located here in Southern California, and Palm Springs is a short drive, about 2 hours away from where we are.
Yeah, I got to go, guys.
I'm going to Palm Springs. Yeah. Well, what's interesting about this is I found this story, and then getting ready for the show tonight, the link was taken down. And it was not an active link anymore. And then I looked, I just Googled it and found another radio station in the Palm Springs area that had this on their website. And that link was a dead link. So now I'm thinking conspiracy theory here. So I'm wondering if this is public information that leaked out or if I just happened across a couple of dead links. Have you heard anything about Star Wars Episode 8 filming in the Palm Springs area? And if so, why haven't you told me about it? Why aren't we making reservations? Let's go see. Let's get out there.
I hate to ruin the party for you guys. Darn it. But I saw, and I actually thought I updated the show notes, but I guess they may not have stuck there when I did my update, or I did not save it or something like that. The site that this radio station was quoting from is a satire site similar to The Onion.
Son of a... Damn it.
Wah, wah, wah.
There's internet echo chamber at its best.
Should we unleash the name of the station that gave us this false information?
I would never want to mention 107.3 FM in Palm Springs.
Or Mix 100.5, the desert's best mix.
Dang it.
Bastards.
All right.
Or U 92.7 FM.
It'd be terrible if that information leaked.
I know.
Wow. All right. We've got a couple of other stories. StarWars.com just today, StarWars.com released their own weekly show called, creatively, The Star Wars Show. And it's about an 8-minute featurette that's going to launch every week. I got to watch the first episode, and unfortunately I don't have it queued up here. But it's basically a news talk program with a couple of hosts talking about Star Wars news. There was a cute little piece in the introduction where they had Dave Filoni banging on the wall of his office saying, "Shut up in there. I can't think." You know, like they're making Star Wars all the time there. And so this was the story from USA Today. Star Wars launches its own internet show. Pretty cool, I gotta say. I enjoyed it. It was quick. 8 minutes in and out. You get all the Star Wars news. And so pretty fun stuff. I thought it was pretty neat that they did that.
I just can't believe they're copying our idea like that and making a TV show out of it.
Yeah.
When do we start filming that?
The show was 8 minutes. It was fine. I did like the interview they had with Duncan Jones, who's the director of Moon, which I thought was a great movie, and he just shared, you know, he did share a story about how when he was a kid, he had an early pre-Betamax, I forget what he called it exactly, but videotape of Star Wars that him and his friends would go over to his house, you know. And if you don't know who Duncan Jones is, he's David Bowie's son. So, yeah, I'm sure Dad had no problem getting a copy of Star Wars delivered to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he refer to it as like a pirate copy or something like that? He said, like, we had a pirated copy. I thought that was pretty cool.
That reminds me of just one of my earliest pirate movies sharing stories, which also involves Star Wars. It had to be 1980 or something like that. And I have an uncle who lives in Palm Springs, and we went up to go see him. And he had, and I think it was on reel-to-reel, he had a reel-to-reel copy of of A New Hope that he put on and projected it onto the wall of his kitchen that me and my brother and sat there and watched. And my parents got up to get us ready to leave early from that. And I remember being so pissed on the drive back from Palm Springs. I didn't get to finish Star Wars.
Wow. Reel to reel. Was it like a Super 8? Like,
I don't know. I just remember it was the film like I'm sure all of you guys, except for Nico, possibly remember watching films in the school class, you know, where you string the films through the, through the projector and put them up on the screen. You know, it was a film in a can is what it was.
Yes. 1978 TIAC promotional only commemorative reel to reel tape, which you can now purchase on eBay for $300.
Wow.
Comes with a booklet too. Very nice.
Oh, well, that makes it okay.
I'm on it.
Do you own that copy, Scott?
I do not, but I will right now.
First, he doesn't own the Blu-ray.
Don't get me started on that Blu-ray.
And now he does not own the TIAC reel-to-reel either.
Man.
What kind of Star Wars collector are you, Evan?
Serious cred.
I'm seeking out an original 35mm print, my friends. Do not get me started.
All right. Well, one final story we had. Star Wars Holochess. I was super excited to see this. Star Wars Holochess augmented reality board game is coming soon. We're going to be able to buy the Holochess game or something very similar to it that was played on them famously twice now on the Millennium Falcon, one in Episode 4 and the other one in Episode 7. But what's cool about this is that a guy by the name of Phil Tippett, who was with Lucasfilm and designed those characters and had a hand in the original holoboard game aboard the Falcon, is the founder of Tippett Studios, and they are collaborating to bring this. Actually, by the way, according to a Star Wars or a story on natureworldnews.com, why it's on Nature World News, I don't know, but he is collaborating to bring the augmented reality game to life, and it looks really cool. I want this table in my living room. I want to play Holochess with my Wookiee at home. And this is so cool that we're in the age that we can actually make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Pretty All cool. I have
Remember,
to say about
always
this.
Let the Wookiee win.
All I have to say about this is when they make the game happen, that the sound effects better be identical to the movie. It better not make them sound cool and deep-toned and monstrous or scary. I want cute, adorable little monsters.
You know, if we haven't yet, as we're on the top of games, somebody's got to give a shout out to Fantasy Flight Games and the work that they're doing in all of their various series of Star Wars games since they've picked up the license. They do the X-Wing miniatures game, which is a dogfighting miniatures combat game, play with dice. They do Armada, which is more of a fleet size miniatures game. They do Imperial Assault, which is kind of a Dungeons and Dragons light-ish type game. They do Star Wars the card game, which is very similar to Magic the Gathering, if you're familiar with that. And just released last month, I believe, is Rebellion, which is a board game where you... It's basically a two-player board game where you pit off the Empire versus the Rebels in trying to flesh out the Rebel base. The game, I hear, is fantastic. I want to step back and say that all of the other games I own, copies of all of those other games, because I'm a gamer nerd and I have to buy a game if it has the names, the words Star and Wars on it. I am just compelled to buy it. But I have not bought Rebellion yet, but I'm intrigued because it's been getting fantastic reviews. So Fantasy Flight Games, if you're listening, I could sure use a demo copy of that.
We'd be happy to play it on the air for you. Absolutely. And that Star Wars X-Wing game, the models are so awesome. The detail, just fantastic game pieces. Love those.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Greg, I'm coming over to play it when you get it.
Yeah, I'll invite you over. I'll show you how to. We'll sit down. We'll spend about 3 hours reading the rule manual, probably, but it'll be worth it.
I remember you threw a Star Wars party a few years back, and the whole house was decorated with Star Wars toys and knickknacks and this and that. But you had one of the games out on your table. I think we might have played a little bit of it, or you showed us some of it.
That X-Wing was the first one they released in the license. And I don't think they had released Armada or Imperial Assault at that time. So it was probably X-Wing. But yeah, I picked up Armada. I picked up Imperial Assault. I have the card game. Yes.
All right, we'll have to set. We need to get over there and play some games, guys.
Yeah, definitely.
That X-Wing game.
Throw back to the hollow chest thing, just real quick. I'll make it super snappy. Didn't know if you guys caught the Easter egg on that. Did anyone notice that in Episode 7?
What, that it picks up right where it left off in Episode 4?
When Finn bumps the table, it picks up the game right where Chewie left off originally.
Right.
And the winner of the new one as it's playing out in front of Finn is the loser from the previous version of the game.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little nod to Star Wars there, the original.
Did they do a stop motion process for that to film the little characters?
Yeah, I believe Phil Tippett was the one in charge of that, too.
Yeah.
They did all those characters for the new animation in the movie. They did all of it with stop-motion photography, just like the original.
Great.
So great, huh?
So nobody played that game for 30 years? I mean, they didn't have any other passengers that happened to turn it on? I guess not.
Unkar Plunt just wasn't a fan.
His fat fingers couldn't get the buttons right.
All right, guys. Well, we've come to the point in the show where we're about to debut a new segment on the show. We've been talking about last week we talked about some great Twitter feeds that we like to follow, and one of them that we were cracking up about was Very Lonely Luke. And so this is the debut of our new... our new segment on the show, it's the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week. It's the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
It just isn't fair.
You know, it was... There were a lot of good choices. We had a couple of big events that came up over the past 2 weeks here, and we had May the 4th. There's a lot of May the 4th ones, but I think the one that really hit home, and it's super dark, guys, so I'm sorry to take this out, but came up on Mother's Day, May 8th. Hey, Mom. Sorry you gave up on life and died of a broken heart. That's okay. It's not like he had two of his children who needed you or anything like that. Luke.
That is some straight fire right there.
Well, guys, episode 10 is officially in the books. It was a good show. Got off to a little bit of a rough start, but I think we pulled it together. No thanks to the fine people at Skype. But we pulled it together, and because we pulled it together, we want to pull together with you, our listener. So we hope to connect with you. Leave us a voice message. 562-455-HIVE. That's 455-4483. You can email us. We have an email address. That is wretchedhive@yahoo.com. You can check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. We've been more active on the Twitter. The Twitter has been a fun place to find us, and we've been posting a little bit and been a little more active at wretchedhivepod. Of course, we have our Instagram feed at @thewretchedhive_podcast, and you can always find us on iTunes. Go to your iTunes on your computer or your smartphone, your podcast section, search for The Wretched Hive, and we're the first one that comes up in the feed. And like us, follow us. We'd love to hear from you. Follow the show, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. 1 star, 5 stars, any stars, we don't care. We just want to connect with you, and we hope to do so in the future. Guys, any final word on the show? Episode 10. Can you believe it? We made it to 10.
We did it, guys.
Can't believe it. It's a milestone.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next one.
Well, you'll have to.
You only have to wait for a couple weeks.
The next 10.
Guys, let's hope we do another 10 at least. Maybe another 110. But never gets old talking Star Wars with you guys. So have a great couple of weeks, and may the Force be with us all.
Always.
Peace out.